The next case on today's docket is 2015-1486, Board of Education of the Southwestern City Schools versus Franklin County Board of Revision. Ms. Thoburn or Thoburn?
Thoburn, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Good morning, may it please the court.
Good morning.
My name is Rochelle Thoburn. I'm with Rich and Gillis Law Group, and I'm here today on behalf of the appellant, Board of Education of the Southwestern City School District. When a property owner fails to present any competent and probative evidence to establish a property's value as of tax lien date, should the BTA remand the case to the BOR to give the property owner a third opportunity? That is the question that is before the court in this matter, and the Board of Education is requesting that this court answer that question with an absolute no. While the BOR did reduce the value of the property in this case initially, it is first important to point out that Bedford does not apply to the facts of this case. It does not apply because, first, the BOR did not rely upon specific and plausible evidence to reduce the property's value. Rather, it relied upon legally improper evidence, namely a single-page hearsay document prepared for a sheriff's sale.
Was the hearsay argument, was that raised at the BOR proceedings?
It was not specifically objected to at the BOR proceedings. It was specifically objected to in our brief to the BTA, which the New Albany Plain Local Schools case that is in our brief states that the argument must be made at the BOR or at the BTA. So we believe we have covered that by making that objection and specific argument at the BTA proceedings. Also importantly, the BTA didn't consider that evidence. It also found it to be legally improper as well. The second reason why we don't believe Bedford applies is because the BOR did not rely upon any evidence advocated by the property owner. The property owner never asserted that the sheriff's sale price or appraisal should be taken as value. The property owner presented an appraisal report to the BOR. The BOR ended up completely rejecting that report.
I thought we had cases that, let's say, Bedford might apply even where it's not the owner's evidence, but it's other evidence in the record.
There have been a line of cases out of this court that has refined the Bedford rule. Specifically, I believe it's Union Savings Banks, which gives four criteria of the Bedford rule. One of them specifically states that an appraisal report presented by the property owner. So we believe it does have to be evidence advocated by the property owner. It's also important, though, in this case that even if the court does look to the other evidence, there's no other legally proper evidence in the record. The evidence in this case really consists of the deeply flawed appraisal report that both the BOR and the BTA rejected. This court must defer to that finding because there is ample support in the record for the BTA as the finder of fact to reject the report. The BTA found that the sales contained in the sales comparison approach were not verified to be arm's length transactions. They found that the adjustments made to those sales were unreliable, and they found that market data was not used to determine any of the calculations in the income approach. So after properly rejecting the appraisal report, the BTA also properly reversed the BOR reduction, finding that it was based upon legal error. Again, the BOR reduced the subject property's value based upon a single-page hearsay, what is called land appraisement, was the title of the document. It was contained in the addendum of the property owner's appraisal report. It was dated more than 6 months after tax lien date, and it was prepared for a sheriff's sale, which Revised Code 5713.04 prohibits as being taken as criterion for a property's value. Also importantly to point out, there was no data supporting the value contained on this one-page document, and there were no qualifications listed for the individuals listed on the piece of paper either. So interestingly, the BOR's decision audio states that they properly found that the sheriff's sale was a forced transaction, and they did not consider that. However, they did not provide any explanation as to how they could then rely upon this appraisal performed for the sheriff's sale to be the property's value. If the sheriff's sale itself cannot be taken as a property's value as a matter of law, then an estimate for what a property would sell for at that sale also cannot be taken as criterion of value. So in sum, in this case, the BTA was correct in rejecting the property owner's appraisal evidence. It was correct in finding that the BOR's decision was wrong. It was based upon legal error. And it was also correct in finding that, as it had rejected all of the evidence, there was no evidence in the record for which it could make an independent determination of value. Where the BTA was not correct and where it made a crucial error was after all of these findings, concluding that, and I'll quote from the decision here, the property owner sufficiently demonstrated that the initial assessment of the subject property overstated its value and feeling as if it was, quoting again, constrained to remand the matter to the BOR for further proceedings. These conclusions are reversible legal error because first the BTA can't reject all of the evidence and then somehow give some weight to the evidence to say that it negates the auditor's value.
What was the constraint that you think they were operating under?
I don't believe there was any constraint at all.
Was it maybe they thought principles arising out of Bedford dictated that type of outcome? Because they certainly cited to cases that build on Bedford's principles.
They do. And maybe that was their interpretation. It would be our position that their interpretation of those cases is incorrect. Because in all of those cases, the property owner, as the court found, had clearly negated the auditor's value. For example, in the East Bank cases, the property owner had presented information that the percent of finish of the condominium units was different in actuality than what the auditor had determined the finish to be. So that was clearly negating the auditor's value. Here, there was no information presented to do that. And in fact, the BOR, again, relied upon legally improper information by statute that cannot be taken as the criterion of a property's value.
So when the BTA vacated and remanded back to the BOR for, I believe their words, for consideration of competent and probative evidence, if the BTA rules out the appraisal report, the evidence pertaining to the sheriff's sale and that appraisement report, what other evidence might there be for the BOR to consider? And let's just assume that I agree or the court agrees that the BTA got that right. What other evidence would there be below for the BOR to even consider?
There is no other evidence. There is no other competent and probative evidence in the record. At the BOR hearing, the property owner did provide some testimony regarding there were a couple vacant units in the property, but that was it. And there was certainly no information as to what the market held or anything like that. So there would be no competent and probative evidence in the record, in our opinion, for the BOR to consider on remand. But it's our position that it would be improper to remand, not only because that's in direct contravention of statutes in Vandalia Butler specifically, but because that gives the property owner another bite at the apple that the case law doesn't provide for. So we don't believe they were constrained to remand to the BOR for any reason under these circumstances, as the 2011 Vandalia Butler case specifically instructs the BTA to do, is that if they find that the property owner has not proven a lower value, which they found, they specifically stated in their decision that the appraisal report did not warrant any adjustment to the auditor's value. So they say that, and then they say, but we found that it negates the auditor's value. Those are very contradictory findings. The Vandalia case says if they determine the property owner has not proven a lower value, and if they determine that there's not evidence in the record to make an independent determination of value, which the BTA specifically found that, then the proper course of action is to reinstate the auditor's original value, even if they also find that the property owner negated the original auditor's value. If they cannot make an independent determination of value, they're supposed to reinstate the original auditor's value. That's what they should have done. There's no case law that says remand to the BOR to give the property owner another chance. Vandalia is very specific to these specific circumstances of this case. So practically speaking, what the BTA did in this matter was give the property owner, again, a third bite at the apple when it failed to meet its burden of proof at the BOR and it did not attend the BTA hearing. There is no reason for this, and there's no support in the law for it. If this decision is not overturned, that means in every case where the BTA properly rejects a property owner's evidence, as they did here, and where they reverse a BOR determination properly, as they did here, then the case must be remanded to the BOR for a do-over. So that begs some questions. If on remand the property owner fails to meet its burden once again, does the BTA continue to remand over and over again until they find the property owner is successful? And does this same standard apply if the Board of Education appeals and the BTA finds that we haven't met our burden of proof? Do we get to remand to the BOR for a do-over? So these are important questions that are left open by the BTA's decision. We believe that this decision would create backlog and strain on the system that would be unimaginable. It's also important to note that this decision is in direct contravention of and would render useless Revised Code 57-1519G, which is a statute that was clearly created to pursue administrative efficiency, as that statute requires that a complainant must present all evidence within its knowledge or possession to the BOR the first time around. And if they don't meet a good cause, they could be prevented from presenting that evidence to the BTA. So we believe that this decision's in direct contravention of not only Vandalia Butler and this court's case law, but also Revised Code 57-1519G. So in this matter, the property owner had an opportunity to prove a lower valuation at the BOR level and at the BTA level. It failed to do so at either level. It should not be given a third opportunity to do so at the BOR for the same tax years. So in this case, we are respectfully requesting that this court reverse the determination of the BTA with regard to its decision to remand the case to the Board of Revision and ask this court to instruct the BTA to reinstate the auditor's original values for the subject property for tax years 12 and 13, the tax years at issue. And that's all we have, unless the court has any additional questions.
I don't have any questions. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate your time.
The case will be...
As a property owner, do I have...
You don't, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The case will be submitted, and you'll be advised of our decision.
Okay.